anywhere, you go anywhere, you are subject to the authority of that house. I can't pray for nobody here without his permission. I wasn't there. You can be dropping dead if he don't say, okay, you dead. Because you know why? God ain't going to honor it. And I went to him and asked him, would it be okay if I pray for some people? He said, help yourself. He gave me free reign. I said, praise the Lord. Got some freedom. When I came back last night, I said to him in front of you all that as I was preaching last night, I had the freedom to preach. And that's only because the word of God preceded me. Everywhere I go, I'm not free to preach. I'm being fought every step of the way. Amen? Some people don't want me to preach because I'm black. Some don't want me to preach because I'm truthful. I tell it like it is. And don't care whether you like it or not. Truth shall make you what? Everybody don't want to be free. Hogs like slop. Amen? Now, what I wrestled with the Lord about this morning, let me go back to this woman real quick. When her son died, she told her husband, I got to go to the man of God. And she called her servant in and said, start up the Cadillac. We got to make a run. It's already gassed up, warm it up, we're getting ready to go. We are going to the man of God. And the husband said, well, it's not new moon. He said, that's all right, it shall be well. Somebody say, it shall be well. It doesn't matter how desperate your situation is. Death can be in your room. The devil can be on your back porch. It don't matter what guy, if you speak out of your mouth, it shall be well. Now, this fellow already dead, and she's talking about it shall be well. But I just got to get to the man of God. And she told the servant, I want you to run and don't slack up till I say so. In other words, if the police get behind her, keep on rolling. Don't stop till I tell you to stop. And she got to going and running. And when she got to the man of God, God spoke to him to look out the window. Somebody come in to see you. He called his servant and said, go get her and ask her how is everything. How is your husband? It shall be well. Someday, how is your son? It shall be well. Well, matter of fact, how you doing? It shall be well. You got to learn to say, it shall be well. I don't care how it feels, how it looks, what people say, you say, it shall be well. Quit letting your feelings run you. You run over your feelings and say, it shall be well. Can't pay your bill? It shall be well. I tell my folk all the time, you may have an eviction notice, but it shall be well because you ain't outdoors. Praise the Lord, somebody. You got to learn how to believe the word of God. When you pray, pray with some belief. Pray that faith will move whatever mountain is in your life. A few years ago, some of y'all probably remember that song, Coming Up the Rough Side of the Mountain. I told my church, don't ever sing that song. That's the worst song in the world. What are you doing coming up the mountain? Jesus said, speak to it. Get your mountain boots off. Stop trying to climb that mountain. That's why you're so tired trying to... You know you're too old to be climbing up the mountain. You do good to get up the steps. You're trying to climb a mountain. Okay, I got 25 minutes. Jesus said, speak to the mountain, and the mountain will get out of your way. But there are certain songs I don't let my church sing. It sounds good, got a good beat to it. It'll make you want to finish up what you didn't finish Saturday night. But it has no spiritual validity. It has no sanctified purpose in making your life better than it is right now. It shall... Tell your neighbor beside, it shall be well. From this point on, all my life, it shall be well. Because God says so. Think about the worst situation in your life right now and tell yourself, it shall be well. All right? The power of prayer is in accordance
with your love for God.
You cannot love God and don't love His people. Now, those of y'all who have children, if somebody wants to get on your bad side, let them mess with your children. You start acting like you ain't never met the Lord. Don't mess with my youngins. All right? Which means if a person don't love your children, they don't love you either. God feels the same way. If we don't love His children, we don't love Him. All right? This is Parker's Island, Pentecostal Holiness Church. Now, y'all have a name that you need to live up to. Now, I don't know who Harker was. Didn't name the island after. But Pentecostal Holiness Church. Y'all have a strong name to live up to. You ever notice something, Pastor? There are a lot of ministries now that are just popping up. But a lot of them now don't have church on it. Calvary Missionary Worship Center. Now, we've been church for over 2,000 years. What's wrong now? When I was a little boy, we used to eat Kellogg's cornflakes when they was on sale. If it wasn't on sale, we ate Colonial, whatever Colonial still had. Mom would go from the Colonial store to the A&P to the Piggly Wiggly. Whatever was on sale is what we ate. But almost 60 years ago, they were called Kellogg's. Cornflakes. It's the law. Why we got to change the church? To a worship center. Can I tell you why? Get God out. Get God out of the church. You can't have church without God. You notice at Christmas time, we don't write Christmas, we write Xmas. Yes. Xmas takes Christ out of the must. Y'all get that? Anything you take Christ out of is going to die. Amen? Most of us, we don't want nothing to do with our ex-husband, ex-wife, ex-boyfriend. We just X them out. You can't X God out because now you don't have no church. And I look up, everywhere you turn around, there's a ministry popping up. Everywhere. There's this popping up. Folk can't even find Genesis calling themselves the pastor. I was teaching Bible study one night and I told my church, I said, everybody turn to the first book of Maccabees. You should have heard the pages turning. Maccabees in the Old Testament, New Testament. No, that's Catholicism. See how much they read the Bible. I'm going to tell y'all a little story and then I'm going to close out. I got some stuff here, but we're not going to get everything. I'll just give you the scriptures and you can read. And this pastor, after he had preached one Sunday morning, he said to the congregation, he said, next Sunday, I'm going to preach on liars. Everybody said, amen. Look at each other. He's talking about you next Sunday. And he said, the pastor said, I want everybody here, in preparation for this sermon, to read the 17th chapter of the book of Mark. Everybody said, amen. The next Sunday, he came back. And he said, I told y'all I was going to preach about liars. Now, how many of y'all read the book, 17th chapter of the book of Mark? Everybody's hand went up. He said, you the ones I want to talk to because it ain't but 16 chapters in Mark. That's all, Bishop. 16 chapters. Now, last night and today, I have felt the presence of God in this church. But He ain't free in this church. I see y'all trying to make me say it again. He can be here and be handcuffed.
handcuffed means that we are running things. And we are limited as to what we can run.
I told you last night, you can't even run your house. How are you going to run the church?
Amen.
I told y'all, y'all won't want to hear this. But I'm up here now. I might as well go on finish.
I'm going to go start my truck.
Point it that way.
God wants to do a work in this church. And some of y'all are mothering the ox. You're giving the man of God a hard time because you've been here longer than he has. I tell my folks, I said, you, like I told y'all last night, you think your church can't run without you, die. Understand this today. God has no problem moving you. If you must need die that the church live, go pick your grave out. Mm-hmm. Now, see, y'all were smiling at my joke. Now, you're looking at me funny. This all is in conjunction with prayer. If prayer is going to be effective and effectual, then we got to line it up with the Word of God. Your tears don't move God no more. When your eyes is full of water, God looks at your heart. God cares nothing about your position in the church. He wants to know the condition of your heart. Did you know when you fight the man of God, you are fighting God himself? And he's just subject to do you like my mama slapped the hell out of you? Because people that fight apart, they got hell in them. And then you want to run around the street and lay hands on somebody. You better get your hands off of me. I just got this suit, got it clean. Who's your? And you're a mess. Who shall ascend into the hills of the Lord? And work is what? You can take a bath this morning, your hands still be dirty. You can go get a pedicure, your hands still be dirty. You can come to church and cry and say, I'm sorry, and still have a dirty heart. God, and I'm going to tell y'all this. I'm not here just because of preaching last night and teaching. God orchestrated this. Because I'm crazy enough to tell y'all what he's saying. God wants this man free. He's got work to do. There are souls to be saved right here in this church. Everybody needs to be saved. They're not down the street. They're right here in this church. And some of y'all are hindering him. Now, here come the hard part, and I'm going to run. No, I ain't, because we got rolls. If I run, I'm taking some raw rolls. I'll be going down 95, my truck just rising. Look, he's rolling, ain't he? I was sharing, and I'm not here. I always teach my preachers, when you go preach and teach, you only teach doctrine. Of Jesus Christ. Not policy. I ain't come here to change nothing, but just share with you what God has given to me. I was talking to Gail and Mike last night, and I said, you know, I see in this church a great vision. Great vision. That God wants to do, because there's some folk here that love God. I know that. There's some folk here that like God. And there are some here that don't like God and don't love him. Ain't too fond of the pastor. I don't want y'all to feel alone because it's in every church. I was sharing with them last night. I said, you know, the difference in the black church and the white church, if there was such a thing, is that in the black church, we are commanded and demanded to respect the pastor. I defy one of my members to call me by my first name. I will knock you in the middle of next week. Why? Because that's called respect. That's called honoring the authority that... And you know what? They'll come in and say, Brother Saint, he's not a brother, he's a pastor. Now, when I leave, you can call him whatever you want to call him. I ain't got nothing to do with it. I'm just honoring the Lord. But then you call him Brother Stacy, get a speeding ticket, go to the court and say, Your Honor. Are y'all following me? Policeman pull you over, and the first thing you say, Yes, sir. And then you come to the house of God, and you can't honor the man of God? You go to court, you don't even know the judge. He walk in, and you stand up. Off the right up and all. And then we come here, and we can't honor the one that God gives watch for our soul? He's not your brother. He's not your friend. He's not your buddy. He is your pastor. When you dishonor him, you dishonor your whole household. And you wonder why the devil got a room and then ain't paying no rent. Because you invited him in. Praise the Lord. Thank you, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Now, let me move on. But I had to throw that in because the Lord said I had to tell you. Honor him. And don't call him pastor and don't mean it. I'm just doing it because Bishop said we have to do it. No, I ain't saying you have to do it. I'm just telling you. You do what you want to do. The Bible said when David was in hell, he lifted up his eyes. In hell. And said, I am in torment in these flames. All right. We cannot pray effectively for people we don't love. When I was talking to somebody last night after service, and one of the ladies came over and got me and said, something wrong with Gail. And I ran over, she was on the floor, because what happened, let me tell you what happened real quickly. I got 10 minutes. What happened real quickly, Mr. Piner, the gentleman, what's his first name? Yeah. Is definitely ill. And Brother Mike was concerned about his soul. And he said, Bishop, he's at death's door, and I'm not sure that he's saved. And you can't be sure nobody's saved but yourself. He said, I'm really concerned about it. I want you to pray. We all got together and we began to pray for him. And God spoke to me and said that he will die, but his soul shall live. Now, that's good news to me. That somebody would love him enough to take his soul before God. And what happened with Gail was the spirit that he had when we prayed came out of him. Now, it wasn't the spirit of counsel, but the spirit of rebellion. And it came out through her. Okay? And it overtook her. And she fell on the floor. And when I went over there, it was about, I guess, maybe 125,000 people over there praying for her. There's an art to praying. And all I said was, I went over there, I didn't even pray. I just said, y'all back up and let her breathe. Just give us a pass. You don't need no prayer. Just leave alone. And when everybody got away from her, she said, right on up. See, the spirit came out, and the spirit comes out, it always has to go through somebody. Let me tell y'all something. Jesus went to Calvary and suffered for all of us. When you have a loved one that you are lifting up to God, somebody got to suffer for. So be prepared. You want God to save your children? Be prepared. You want God to save your mean husband? Be prepared. Your wife that won't cook no rolls, be prepared. Amen. You have to love people in order to pray for them. Your prayer don't count for folks you don't get along with, that you don't genuinely love and have forgiven. Mm. You can't pray for folks you got ought with. You know what ought means? You ought to forgive them. I don't care what you've done to you. We all have done things to people. Jesus said, listen, if you got wrong with your brother, I don't even want your tithe. Take your tithe back to your seat. Get right with your brother. And then bring me your tithe. How many of y'all know that God don't receive everything we offer? Terrible thing to pay tithe. And then God don't receive them. That means you get no credit for it.
Are we learning something today?
Mm-hmm. All right, let me move right along. We got 8 minutes. How do I know?
I smell rose. Jesus' disciples came to him on one occasion after they had cast out the devil, and they were all excited. They were rejoicing, feeling righteous and holy, and said to the Lord, "The devil is subject to us." And Jesus calmly looked at him and said, "With your Pentecostal self, you ought not to rejoice because the devil is subject to you. You rejoice because your name." Somebody say amen. That's what you ought to be happy about, that your name is written in the book of life. We get happy sometimes about the wrong thing. On another occasion, they came to Jesus because they tried to cast out a demon, and the devil licked his tongue at him and said, "I ain't moving." And you know they got to thinking, was scratching their head like, "Well, why that demon come out in this one?" They came back to Jesus and we tried to cast him out, but he wouldn't move. We spoke in tongues, we laid hands, we poured oil on him. We did everything that you've been taught us, but the devil wouldn't move. What did we do wrong? It's not a point of wrong. You ain't had a faith. Some things come by what? And you know we're not a fasting generation. Now we're a fast generation, but not a fasting generation. Amen? We don't like to suffer. We don't want our flesh to suffer now. That's what brings you in close to God, is suffering. Mm-hmm. Real quickly, pray with the Spirit and understanding. 1 Corinthians 14:15. You don't have to get all cute and righteous with God. He knows who you are. Satan can't cast out. I was sharing with a gentleman last night as I closed down. You remember when Peter, the disciple, was on the boat and Jesus came to him in the fourth watch of the night, walking on the water. And I was sharing with somebody, y'all remember who it was. They were talking about Peter walking. I said, well, first of all, man can't walk on water. They go. I grew up right here in Boca, like I said, and left here, couldn't swim a lick. Swimmed here like a rock. But a few years ago, I started having some trouble for some reason with my back. I went to the doctor, and he said, you need to get in a pool and just exercise in the pool. Now, of course, not being able to swim, I went out there to the rec center, and they had the little baby pool, and they had my name on it. And then they had the 5-foot pool, and then they had the 16-foot pool. So I took the lesson. I took a class in swimming, and they just get you the basics of the water. That's class number one, and I had 3 different classes. And I completed the class, and then the movement from the baby pool to the 5-foot pool. Now, when I got in the 5-foot pool, I felt just like I could walk on water. I was good to go. I started swimming and paddling and carrying on. And then to end up the class, it was 6 weeks. They took us over to the 16-foot, and they put on life preservers. I had one on my neck, one around my waist, and my hand on the pool. And then he told us, he said, "Let go, everybody, let go. You cannot sink." I'm going, "That's what you think." So I finally got up the nerve, and I turned the pool loose, and I started floating. I said, "Hot dog. I'm going to get my certificate tonight." And I'm just sitting there, just minding my own business, you know. And then it dawned on me. I can't reach the side of the pool. The water had carried me out 16, in the middle of 16 feet of water. And, of course, now fear tried to set in. I said, "Not going to happen." And then all of a sudden, this little old teeny little boy, but no taller than this, no life preserver on,
All he had on was his swimming trunks. Just came swimming by me like a nut. I thought they hit him right in the gut, boy. I was going to hit him with this. I did get my certificate. Now, when Peter saw Jesus coming, he called out to God. And he said, Lord, bid me to come, or allow me to come to you. If you know your scriptures, Jesus said what? So when Peter stepped out the boat, he wasn't on the water, he was on the word. Anybody catch that? He wasn't walking on the water, he was walking on the word. You and I can do the same thing. Jesus already told us, come unto me. All ye that what? And are heavy laden, come. All you got to do is get out the boat. Some of y'all are not free today because you listen to them boat people. The folks that's in your boat of life, stop listening to them and tell the Lord, let me come to where you are. Because where the presence of the Lord is, there's some liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, somebody going to be healed. Somebody going to be delivered. Somebody going to be set free. He's given us a command to come. Now get out your boat. Get out your comfort zone. Get out of your religion. And come to the Lord. Walk in on the word. But as soon as the boat people started talking, Peter turned around and said, huh? Because, you know, people have a habit of saying, you know, Pastor don't know everything. I never said I did. I tell my folks all the time, I don't know everything, but I know something about everything. What does that mean? That means that whatever needs, the church needs, I know something about it. If I don't, I find out. Now, that means my primary responsibility is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Other stuff in the church that needs to be done, if I need to do it, I can. I should not have to. That means that there are some members in my church that got some better ideas than I do. Don't mean I ain't got no idea. Your idea is better because God gave it to you. You may have a better way of doing what needs to be done. But in case you don't want to do it, I can get it done. Praise the Lord. I shouldn't have to do certain things because God gives us people that can do things. Amen? That means to us that when we pray, we got to be ready to do something about what you're talking about. Write your scripture down, I'm going to let you go. All power belongs to God. Paul said, ain't but one authority. And that belongs to God. Psalm 62:11. And Psalm 68:35. I'm going to write that again. I'm going to say it again because I know some of y'all write like I do. Psalm 62:11. Psalm 68:35. Matthew 28:18. Jesus said, all power is given to who? Unto me. All right? Now, when that power was given to the Lord, he gave it to us. Did you know that? After you have received the Holy Ghost, what happened? You receive what? What messed many folk up is they think they got power because the Lord chooses to use them on occasion. The gifts are given without repentance. Can I tell you what determines your power? And I'll be through. I got a couple of handouts, and I'll be through. What determines your power is how much love you have. No love, you ain't got no power. None at all. You just got religion. Praise the Lord. The power of God rests in the love of Jesus Christ. And if you don't have that love, you ain't got no power. Write these last scriptures down. The only power the devil has is what we give him. Luke 4:6. I'm giving you the power. Whatsoever you bind, where? On earth. I got you back in heaven. Whatsoever you loose, I got you back. Never loose a demon without loosing something else with it. If you bind a spirit, loose the love of God. You pray for people, I'll bind you in the name of Jesus. Devil, okay, now, and then you go home. The person get up and go home bound because you just bound them. I bind you in the name of Jesus. But when are you going to loosen me? All right. Now, y'all must be smelling rose because you're getting quiet. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power. After. You don't get no power by joining church. You don't get no power by being the head of a ministry. You don't get no power by being the most popular person in the church. You get power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Romans 1:20. And Ephesians 3:7. Blunt. You go, come give me a quick hand. Now, what I'm going to hand to you is just something the Lord encouraged me to give to you. One of them is called You Are a Hero. Did you know that? Nobody never told you you was a hero, did they? You're God's hero. Amen. The package and the ones over there. The other one, give me one of those in your package. It's just something I want to show to y'all because I see when I was here. This is called the gifts of the Spirit. And again, I ain't come here to change nothing, to do nothing differently, just to share what God gave me with you. There are gifts in this room, the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are not being used and utilized. We're waiting on Pastor Stacy. He can't give it to you. But he does need your help. Amen. I said last night, I'm an overseer. I'm supposed to oversee what you're doing in the Spirit. I shouldn't be the one going around laying hands on people, casting out demons, and getting folks filled with the Holy Ghost, and getting folks saved. That's not my job. I'm an overseer. Okay? Pastors are not even, scripturally, we're not even supposed to go to the hospital to pray for the sick. But we know y'all be mad as hell if we don't. Amen, somebody? Amen. The time won't have to come when y'all quit yoking us to do things that make your flesh happy. Pastors have no business at the hospital praying for the sick. That is not our job. The Bible says he's to be freed up to work in the Spirit and prepare to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The folk get upset. That's the deacon's job. That's the missionary. That's the evangelist's job, is to go pray for the sick. These gifts that I've given you is just to give you an example so that God can deal with you on what your gifts are. And then once you're notified by the Holy Ghost what your gifts are, then they must be perfected. You don't just pick a gift. Now, you don't go through this list like you're going down here to the grocery store and get a shopping cart and go down the aisle and pick up whatever gifts you want. He gives gifts to whom he will. That means you can't choose it. He'll give you what you need. I said you last night, you got the gift of healing and you come to church every 2 Sundays. What folk going to do while you're in here? Praise the Lord. Right? I got the gift of evangelism, but you always complaining about your legs hurt. Where you going? And the second one, like I said, is You Are a Hero. I just want you to read that. That's something for you to meditate on. Now, you ready for me here? Hallelujah. Lord, gonna bless you real good. Amen. Now, this is what I want to do. How many of y'all right now are members of this church? Raise your hand if you're members of this church. I hear Thunder Squall. Y'all still say Thunder Squall down here? I was telling the prophetess, Bullock. I said, y'all hear that Thunder Squall this morning? She said, what is a squall? I said, you city people, y'all don't know nothing. I said, many times when preachers get to preaching and they get to what we call the hoop part, we be squalling. And I said, when you hear that noise, I said, God is squalling. And we call it the thunder squall. Amen. Now, Grandma used to tell us, shh. Yeah, go sit down somewhere. God doing his work. We don't have that kind of respect no more. Thunder squall come up, we drive to the Walmart. Because we stay home all night long. We had to sit down and not say nothing. Can you imagine children nowadays sitting down not doing nothing? We don't teach them no more to honor and respect God. We go out there and lightning strike them. Why you let that happen to my child, God? You should have had him sitting down somewhere. And you should have been sitting down with him. Because, you know, I don't know about y'all, but this kind of weather grips me, brother. Unplug that phone, turn the lights off, get up under the cover. Oh, I have a Pepsi-Cola on the side table. I tell my church every night on the way home, we have a store called 7-Eleven. It's like Quick Mart, but stay open all night long. And every night, sometimes I'm at the church till 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. And when I leave home, when I leave the church to go home, I stop by the 7-Eleven every night. And I get 2 Mr. Goodbars. One for me and one for the Lord. When I get home, I put the Lord's on the side table and I eat mine. And when I get up in the morning, if it's still there, I know he didn't want it. But I never leave God out. Amen. Think on things above. Everybody saved here today have at least one gift of the Holy Spirit. Everybody. God needs to utilize you in that gift. But it must be perfected. You can't go around just imitating stuff, laying hands on people, don't know what you're doing. What's that fellow name in the Bible that the demon jumped out of? No, not Legion, the other one. Yeah, Sons of Sceva. Some demons come out of that rascal and jumped over on that and beat the hell out of him. The Bible said beat his clothes off. You can't play with demons. They are as real as God. As you look up through the list, God will show you what gifts you have. And then under the supervision of the authority God put over you, let that gift be perfected. And the devil will fear you because you got the power of God residing in you. Amen?